With the two boys and almost three. Okay, you'll have to introduce yourself. So
hello, I am Michal Shokievich, and this is Meryl Shokievich, and this is Zachariah and Ethan, and we arrived on Monday.
Could you get all the pronunciations right? Welcome, guys. It's such a blessing to have you. These guys have packed up all their stuff. They've come from Pretoria, from Shofar Pretoria. We actually met them in, when was it, 2007, actually. I think when I arrived there. I don't know when you guys were around there. And they've been faithfully serving there for many years, and now they've decided that God is calling them to come and support us, and we've thrown out the net wide for support, and they've packed their bags, and they've come, and they've packed up their whole life, and they've come over to come and support in many ways. And we're so blessed to have you guys, and we're so blessed with your faith and your passion for the kingdom, and to come and join us here. So we're just going to welcome you. Let's give them a big hand. And pull them right into the family from the start, and we're going to pray for them. If you're going to extend your hands just for a moment. God, we thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift that is from you, Father. And we receive this beautiful family as a gift from you, Father. We thank you, God, for the faith in their hearts, Lord, and the passion that you've given them, and the anointing on them, Lord, that they've come with a purpose and in your plan, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we commit them to your grace in this season. We thank you, Lord, for your grace that abounds toward them. We thank you, Lord, for an abundance for every good work, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for a momentum in the Spirit that they haven't experienced before, Father. Thank you for the blessing of going that is upon them, Father, in Jesus' name. And in the same way, Lord, we receive them, and we thank you for the gift that they are to us, God. And we pray that you would empower them, and you would, as you have anointed them, Lord, that they would achieve and run with every part of your plan that you have for them here, Lord. Every good work that you've prepared for them as part of this local family, Lord, we bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for many souls to be saved, Lord. We thank you for many communities to be impacted, many families, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for their own family to be blessed as they grow here, as their family grows, Lord. And we thank you, God, just that they will just walk in the fullness of what you have for them in this season, God, to the glory of your name, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome, guys. It's exciting. Please get to know them a bit afterwards. Greet them. Great stuff. Meryl was very keen to jump in with the worship today, but we said we'll give her a moment to settle in. Wonderful. Amen. Great. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody that's come from all the way from Surrey. It's a long trek, Kate said. So far, you made it. it's great to have everybody here, and such a blessing to be together. We do realize that half the church is now downstairs, but that's okay. I'm sure they are enjoying it, and hopefully we still have an office when they're done. Thank you, Sangha. But what a blessing to be together, and what a blessing to enjoy the presence of God together. Yeah, so my son, David, had a bad night, which means I also had one. So if I nod off during the sermon, do you mind just getting my attention? Okay. Don't worry. Bad joke. Okay. Let's. Whoa. There we go. I got lost, but sorry. Okay. Sorry. Yes. No. Okay. Thanks very much. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for this awesome time of worship in your presence, God. We thank you, God, that we are absolutely convinced, Lord, of your faithfulness toward us, Lord, and your faithfulness to your promise, God, and that you are here with us right now. God, we don't take it for granted, Lord. We don't take it for, we know it doesn't come cheap, Lord. We know, Lord Jesus, that you pay the highest price that we can have this privilege, God, of knowing your presence and knowing your peace and coming together like this, God. And we honor you and we thank you, God. Lord, and as we come into your word now, Lord, we thank you that your word isn't just a document, Father, but it's alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And right now, in Jesus' name, we open our hearts, we open our minds, Lord, we open our lives. Come and transform us, Lord. Come and make us, come and shape us, Lord, so that we would be more like Christ, Lord, that we would be shaped and molded into your image, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your presence, God. We honor you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks. A song, I hope I don't do it again. Okay, yeah, put it in the back, thanks. All right. So this morning, I'm going to just share a few little bits, very briefly. Something I've been wrestling through myself a little bit, and just conscious of a bit lately. And I was listening to a message from Reinhard Bonnke, and I was just inspired by a few things. And I just want to share a few points around this very briefly with us this morning. Now, if we talk about being full of faith, and if we talk about living a life of faith, especially in this day and age, where everything needs to be empirically proven and everything needs to be kind of beyond doubt, it's often a challenge. And the moment you talk about living by faith, or the moment you talk about that you know you walk by faith, people often think you're missing a few screws, or you're either a fundamentalist or something like that. And the fundamentalist these days is a bit of a swear word, isn't it? It's a bad word, being a fundamentalist. I suppose it depends on the fundamentals, eh? So this morning, I want to look at a few bits of scripture. And if you look at, we've been reading through the Acts of the Apostles. And even, you know, if you look at those guys, ordinary people, and if you look at those couple of chapters describing their lives after the first church was born, it's really crazy stuff happening all the time. It's really not ordinary. Go and challenge yourself a bit and go and read it again. And it's challenging because that is what God has for us. That is the abundance of life that God has prepared for us. It's not just being comfortable with my job and having enough to eat and having a nice place to sleep. There's so much more that God has prepared for us. And I've been challenged myself that am I happy to settle with a mediocre something? Am I happy to settle with a survival and a just making it as a believer, or am I pursuing the fullness of God, the fullness that God has for me and for us as a church? And we look at specifically around, well, all of the Bible, actually. All of the Bible is just one miracle after another. Okay, so it's crazy. There's a lot of challenging things in there, but especially around, if you look at the book of Acts, there's a lot of things happening that really shake our paradigm, really, you know, shake. If this is ordinary life, if that is what a normal Christian life looks like, then what am I doing? What am I busy with? But I want to take us a little bit before that, because even the apostles, even the guys that walked in all those amazing things, even the guys that were, you know, the planting, the guys that started the early church, the first church, they weren't always at that place. They didn't start off full of faith. Okay, so we're just going to quickly look at that and see what happened with them. Let's look at Mark chapter 16. Okay, cut it off there, but let's read from verse 9. Now, this is actually just after Christ died and he rose from the dead. Okay, so let's look at verse 9. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven demons. I don't know why Mark wanted to mention this here, but in any case. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene, and she went on and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Okay, it's not a good start, right? They didn't believe. Then, in verse 12, after that appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So we see three times, yeah, within a couple of verses, they did not believe. Okay, there was some serious unbelief here. Okay, so if you've ever struggled with this, okay, like I have, if there's been a time where you've doubted some things, you're not in a bad company. Okay, all right. They even just in this little bit here, there were three times where it says they did not believe. Like obviously, then Jesus rebukes them, so that's obviously not a good thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing. But he says he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. But this is the amazing thing, what happens next. Right? Because now this group of guys, they're not looking good, right? If I had to have a mission team going out somewhere and the guys are just not believing and not believing and not believing, I'd be thinking, my goodness, you know, is this the right group of guys? But let's see what happens just after this. And verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is the context of the Great Commission in Mark. It's three times before this happens, the guys are not believing. If I was there, if you and I were there, we would probably go up to Jesus and say, just hang on there. These guys don't believe. This is maybe not the right group of guys. Maybe we've got the wrong candidates here. We've got to find somebody else. This is not a good start. Are you with me? But these are the guys, and I believe Christ would have said, would have said something to in terms of, you know, he's not intimidated. He's not intimidated by our lack of faith at times. But more importantly, he knew what was just about to happen. He knew what was about to happen after this, and he knew whom he would send to empower these guys. Amen. So let's look a little bit further on. Okay, so now, firstly, they don't believe three times. Three times after each other, says they don't believe. All right, so this is not good space. Then he still goes on and commissions them. He still goes and says, this is the plan. Go into all the world. All right? Gives them the great commission. He goes all the way, man. He doesn't just say, listen, guys, just try and share the love of Christ with somebody out there. He says, preach the gospel to every creature. He says, baptize. He talks about baptizing people. He says about talks about casting out demons and speaking in tongues and taking up serpents. This is not a Mickey Mouse gospel. This is the full on gospel. This is the full on power of God. He says they will lay on hands on the sick and they will recover. So, and this is what he commissions them with. Let's look further in verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Okay, now here between verse 19 and 20, this is actually where Mark leaves out something, and if you look chronologically, but then let's look at verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. But let's quickly look back at verse 14. Okay, so at verse 14, it's the third time. He appeared to the 11 and they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. somewhere between verse 14, where he had to rebuke the guys because of the unbelief, and verse 20, something major happened. You see? Because these guys are clueless. They don't believe. But then, in verse 20, we see they go out and preach everywhere, and the Lord is performing the word, and he's demonstrating the power of God through the accompanying signs. Do you see that there's something there that happened? Okay, we're going to look at what happened in between there. And it actually happened in Acts chapter 2. Because after Christ ascended to heaven, first the guys went to Jerusalem and they had to wait together, remember? Okay, we're going to look at that in a moment. Now, the challenge here, firstly, I want to look at a couple of things here. Firstly, guys, Jesus is not intimidated when we sometimes doubt things, okay? He's not intimidated by our state of mind. But he wants to empower us so that we don't have to live in that state of mind, okay? We're going to look at a few bits that obstacles that we need to be careful of, things that we need to watch out for. And one of the main things that stood out for me is just how we deal with the lies of the enemy, how we deal with accusations and the lies and the deceit that the devil throws at us. I don't want to get anywhere with myself. Let's quickly look at 2 Kings. Now, I'm just going to quickly look at this unbelief we've been hearing about. They didn't believe, and Jesus rebuked them because of their unbelief. And so we're going to have a very brief look at 2 Kings. Now, the context here was the nation was under siege, okay? There was a massive army surrounding the city of Samaria, and they couldn't go anywhere. They were basically starving. There was no food, and the armies were just all around. This massive army was around them. It was basically they're going to die. This is it. Okay. And then the word of the Lord comes through the prophet Elisha. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord: Tomorrow, about this time, a share of fine flour should be sold for a shekel, and 2 sheaves of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Okay, so in other words, very cheap. Where at the moment, there's no food, right? There's no food. No matter how much money you have, you can't buy food because there's none, all right? The people are literally dying of hunger. So this is the word of the Lord. It says, tomorrow, it's going to be completely different. Tomorrow, there's going to be more than enough food for everybody. It's going to be very cheap, in fact. Okay, now, look at the response of this guy, officer. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned, in other words, somebody that was advising the king, one of his chief advisors, answered the man of God and says, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, he was saying, "This is impossible. It's never going to happen. What are you talking about?" Okay, so he's just basically saying, not a chance. It's never going to happen. And then Elisha answered it, and he said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Now, this guy does a very dangerous thing here, okay? Because God speaks through Elisha, and he actually says, "Thus says the Lord," right? So this is not many of us to say that these days, "Thus says the Lord," but this is the word of God for the people. Tomorrow, it's going to be different. Tomorrow, right? And this guy does what a lot of us would probably have done in the same. Let's just be honest for a moment. Okay, how on earth is this going to happen? We've been in this situation for a long time. There's no food. These guys out there, these soldiers, this army is going nowhere. They want to kill us. There's only one thing they want to do, and he says there's not a chance. All right. But what happens? I'm not going to read it now. You're welcome to go and read the rest of chapter 7. But what happens is, the next morning, the Lord makes the guys, the soldiers, the armies that are surrounding the city, he makes them hear the sound of a great army. And they just hear this massive army coming, and they flee. They run for their lives, all right? And they go. They leave everything behind. They've got masses of food. This is massive army. They've got a huge number of supplies and food. They're very well stocked. They leave everything behind. And they run for their lives, okay? So exactly what God had said will happen. By the next midday, the next day, at this time that he said, there was amazing number of food. There was just enough food for everybody, the army, because of all the stuff that left behind, okay? Now, what happened is that the king sent this officer to go and have a look and to go and administrate and just kind of check that everything went okay. And as he went there, he was basically trampled by the people that were running to get food. He saw, and then he was killed. Dangerous thing, this. Okay, so I want to start with this, guys, is that when we, obviously we don't do it as deliberately as this, but we still do it somehow. In our hearts, we disagree with God. It's not good, guys. Not a safe place. It's not good. It's a dangerous thing to disagree with God. If God says, this is who he is. If God says, this is my provision for you. If God says, this is my thoughts toward you. This is my promise for you. And we go, yeah, I don't know. Do you see that? We do that, guys. I include myself. It's a dangerous thing to do. You know, we think, this might be the promise of God, but the reality is, and then we say all the reasons why it can't happen. All the reasons why in my situation, God's provision is probably not sufficient. Because of, no, but you see, this, my situation is like this and this and this. Are you with me? Okay, you guys didn't do that. Sometimes I do this, okay? And I know there's some guys out there, but maybe not you guys. But the reality is we hear the word of God, we hear the promise of God, we hear the even prophecies and promises and scripture, and there's something in us, and whether it be our own doubts or whether it be the enemy that throws lies at us that thinks, this might be good for somebody else, but it's probably not for me. Amen? Guys, so this is one of the key obstacles, is this, and it comes in various forms. It comes in unbelief, it comes in terms of fear, anxiety, etc. And this is how the enemy operates, guys. He's the father of lies, okay? So if he can, this is the only thing he can still do. He can deceive us, he can throw lies at us, and he can bug us and get us to fear things. I mean, the rest, he's got nothing left, guys. He's been completely disarmed. Christ is overcoming in every way. He's taken the keys of sin and of death. He's won the victory over death and sin and death, and he's won the victory once and for all. And all the enemy has left is to deceive us and to lie at us and to throw the stuff at us. Okay, and somehow we kind of still fall for that stuff. So what I want to say is, this is one of the key struggles we sit with, is this thing in our minds. And guys, I don't know, I thought of myself as a positive person. I've spoken to a pastor friend of mine about this, Andre from East London, and he says he rates himself as a positive guy. But when he was sitting under the word about this kind of thing, he realized, wow, there's such a lot of nonsense that we allow into our heart and into our minds. There's such a lot of lies. There's so many lies that we allow to remain in our hearts and in our minds. We don't deal with them. We kind of just entertain them. Yeah, you know what? Maybe God's provision for me isn't as perfect as I thought. A lot of lies coming at us. A lot of deceit coming at us. And the challenge that we're sitting with, guys, is that if we allow this, the lies and the deceit and the stuff that speaks against the word of God in our lives, if we allow it to remain, if we don't deal with it decisively, it stays there. It becomes a stronghold. Scripture says it forms an argument, you know, argument in your head, in your mind. Have you ever had this argument going on in your mind? It becomes an argument, then it becomes a high thing. It becomes a stronghold. And then it's very difficult to get out of that cycle. And the other thing is, if we allow it to come into our hearts, then what happens is what's in our minds, what's in our hearts, comes out of our mouths. And what next thing that happens is we start to say, like this guy, never going to happen. It's not going to happen. We start disagreeing with God. We start saying stuff. We start saying things about this could be anything in your life. It could be any challenge. It could be any situation. But we start saying things that, and we start declaring, we start speaking death over a situation. Very dangerous place. And guys, oh, look, remember there's good news coming, okay? So hang in there. But the problem with this is the father of lies, this is the enemy, the father of lies, he continually bombards us with this stuff, okay? That's his job. He will do it night and day. Awake or sleep, he's going to try and get at you. Sorry. That's the bad news, okay? The good news is that we can position ourselves to be absolutely immune to that stuff, to the lies of the devil. We can position ourselves in the truth of God, in the truth of Scripture, to a place where we don't doubt God. We doubt the doubts, rather. Isn't that a better thing to doubt? When you, these doubts come, you think, yeah, these doubts, they're dodgy, eh? I'm not going to believe them. Okay, don't worry, we'll get there. So, if this is something that's you know, if we keep, we focus on the negative things, we focus on the what we do not have, we focus on the impossible things or the what seems impossible, that stuff is going to start coming out of our mouth. That stuff is going to start coming, it's going to fill us, and that's all we're going to hear. That's all what we're going to be speaking about. Instead of focusing on, okay, what does the word, what does the Scripture say about this in, for me right now? Who is God in this situation? Okay. Let's quickly look. What I said is the lies that will keep coming. The challenge is, okay, we don't have to even go look for them. They will keep coming. The challenge is we have to counteract that. We have to position ourselves to receive the truth of God. We have to position ourselves in the Word, in the truth of the Word, to be able to stand strong when the enemy comes. We live, you know, Scripture talks about lifting up the shield of faith. It's a deliberate action, all right? Filling yourself with the Word of God, making the promises of God your own, memorizing Scripture, whatever it takes, meditating on the Scripture, meditating on the truth. That's the only way you're going to get yourself to a place where you recognize, wow, this is nonsense. This stuff that's going on in my head, this is nonsense. This is the truth of Scripture. This is the truth of the promise of God for the situation. Let's quickly look at Romans chapter 4. The God that we call on, the God that we, whose promises we believe, He's the God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This is the God that gives the promises. So when Elisha brings the word, this is exactly what happens. He says, this is what's going to happen. There's no sign of it, okay? It's impossible. It's never going to happen if you look at the circumstance. If you look at all the facts, this is completely ridiculous. But this is how the word of God works. This is how the faith works. He says, this is the way it's going to be. I know you can't see it. I know you can't smell it. I know you can't imagine it even, but this is how it's going to be. This is how faith works. He calls the things that are not as if they are. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see yet, right? So for us to walk in faith is for us to come to a place where we recognize the enemy's trying to get us at us with all this lies and discouragement and stuff, and we say, no ways. I'm going to start proclaiming what the Word of God is for me and for my situation and for my church. And you know what? Even if we can't see it, it's going to happen. It's going to be like that. Calling the things which do not exist as though they did. And then Joel 3, verse 10, the last bit there says, let the weak say, I am strong. Now again, guys, this is difficult for us rational Western people. Because we watch the news, we know what's going on in the world, I know what's going on. This is the reality, we like to say that. But this is the reality is, okay? The reality is, this is the reality. And we talk about this, these are the facts. like, I've seen it on the news. It's on Facebook. It's on Google. If you Google it, the effects are there, right? So, and we struggle with this. But now the prophet says, let the weak say, I am strong. But you say, but why do you, you know, are you in denial? No. This is how faith works. He's not saying the weak should say, I'm not weak. He's saying, let the weak say, I am strong. And when we start to confess the truth that God has for us of our situation, it positions us that we can actually walk in the truth. Okay. In our chat with this pastor I had last week, he said something which he read, and he said that if I'm hopeless about a certain situation, pick something that you have been hopeless about. My hopelessness about that situation is a bigger problem than the actual problem. If I have unbelief about a certain thing, my unbelief about that thing is a bigger problem than the actual thing. The reason for that is if I'm a situation, if I have to trust God for something, say, let's just make it simple. Let's say finance, okay? If the Lord doesn't give me £5,000 by the end of this week, that's it. If I don't have anything left, everything is, you know, all debts are, you know, whatever's happening, I'm in a crunch situation. I need this by the end of the week, and I don't see where it's going to come from. When I'm sitting there and I'm in a dump and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have to be made bankrupt or something, and I'm completely hopeless about the situation, what happens is I give God nothing to work with. There's no faith there. There's no appropriating the promise of God. There's nothing that I'm giving God to work with. So he's like, my son, I want to give this to you, but you're not giving me anything to work with here, you know? If I'm saying, oh, you know what, I'm agreeing with the enemy, I'm disagreeing with God, then I'm almost taking myself out of the provision of God. But when I start to deal with the problem, the biggest problem, which is my hopelessness or my discouragement or my unbelief, I say, Lord, I repent. This is not of you. I repent of this unbelief. The reality of the situation is that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. You provide my every need. You know it even before I ask it. You provide an abundance for every good work. You know my need even before I know my need. And then we start to declare the truth of Scripture. He shall provide all of my needs through Christ Jesus. We start to declare the truth of the situation, which supersedes the reality of the facts that we find out, the reality of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Guys, the Scripture is full of this. That's why we need to get the Scripture in. Before that, God spoke to Abram about having children. Abram was 100, guys. That's pushing it. Eh? Seriously. His wife was 99. I don't blame her for laughing. She laughed when the angel said he's going to have a child. She just had a chuckle. This is funny. Okay. I don't blame her. Okay, since I've been a parent, I've learned a few things about these things, about having babies and stuff. And 99 is really pushing it. Okay. So, I don't blame it, but the reality is that it was the Word of God. The facts and the reality and the circumstances is not good. But the Word of God was, you will have a child. And she had to deal with that laughter, right? When the angel came to Zechariah about that he's going to have a son, he's going to be John the Baptist, he also had a problem. It's so much so that God had to press the mute button on him for a couple of months, and he couldn't speak. I reckon God helped him there because he was just going to speak death over the situation. He says, no way, man, this is never going to happen. So God says, listen, just find that mute button there. Let's just help this guy out Because he's not going to speak the truth over the situation. He's going to just be speaking death. So let's just help him out, yeah? And only when the child was born, he could speak again. Guys, how often are we in the same place? We so desperately need God to come through it for us, but we still allow the lies of the devil and the discouragement and so much nonsense to remain in our hearts and in our thoughts. We can position ourselves in a place where you say, you know what, this is the reality of my situation. And I'm not saying put your head in the sand. I'm not saying don't be aware of the reality, okay? And that's not what I'm saying. But Scripture says agree with your adversary. So say, okay, this is the reality. Now, this is what my bank statement is saying, or this is what the tests say, or this is what the doctor says, or this is what whoever says. But this is what God says. This is what the Scripture says. And you know what? I see the reality. I see the circumstance. I'm aware of it. But I choose to believe the truth of the Word of God. Guys, I remember first time praying for somebody that was deaf. And This is the crisis of faith. This is the crisis we have every time we pray for somebody, every time we trust for something. That's the place between praying and actually seeing something or not seeing something, or, you know, it's that crisis period. Between, you know, realizing, okay, this guy's come up for prayer now, he's deaf in his one ear, and I'm going to have to pray for him now. What do I do? Is there a special prayer? Is there a thing I have to say? There's the crisis there. There's a thing of saying, okay, Lord, you know what? I'm just gonna wing it now. I'm just gonna pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know what is there a magic word? Is there like a thing? Is there like a scripture I must say? The key there is just to say, God, you are the one that heals the sick. I'm just gonna appropriate that by faith. I'm not gonna do anything. And then the guy got healed, praise the Lord. But how many situations we find ourselves in where, you know, if you remember the time where the bread and the fish, right? 5,000 plus people, a lot of people. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Erna will tell you, she's made food for lots of people. That's not good. Some people are going to be disappointed. Okay. Now, again, there's a crisis because the Scripture says Jesus prays for the food and then he distributes it to the disciples. Now, you get your little bit of bread and fish and you need to feed, 2,000 people. That's the crisis there. That between receiving from Christ and then realizing, oh my goodness, this is not going to cut it. There's the crisis. I can either just eat it myself and run, or I can decide to say, you know what, I'm just going to go and be obedient and be faithful and do what Jesus has told me to do with this, although it's completely, completely ridiculous. And that's where the miracle happens, because everyone gets fed. And then there's 12 baskets left over. Okay, it makes zero sense. But it's when we walk in obedience and we walk in faith in what God has given us. Okay, now there's a few things in terms of positioning ourselves. Now, there's a few lies, key lies. Okay, one of them, have you ever found yourself praying for that God must come into your situation? We were taught that, I remember as a child, Lord, come and be with us. Come and, you know, join us type of thing. Or please just come and be with us. And guys, I'm not saying we shouldn't desire more of God's presence, okay? That's what I'm saying. But I've read Matthew 28, and Jesus says, I'm with you always, till the end of the age. So, when you read that, you realize, you know, it's a bit silly to ask somebody to come if they are with you all the time. He's with us always. And the power of the presence of Christ, the power of the presence of God with us, it doesn't change. Sometimes we feel the presence of God. It's amazing. We get goosebumps. And it's just, yeah, it's just cool, you know. We cry or we feel it in our emotions. We feel the presence of God, and that's very important. But when I don't feel it, it doesn't mean it's not there. And that's how this, how these lies and stuff operate. Well, I'm thinking, gee, you know, I didn't sleep last night. I don't really feel very well. Maybe I'm a little bit ill. I don't feel the presence of God right now. I don't feel blessed. Does that change who God is? Does it change that He said He's with us? Can I must just get one answer. No. Amen. Look, I've got great news, guys. The Jesus that we serve is not a commodity. We don't have to share Him. He's not here in a percentage. He's a personality, which means He is either here or He's not here. I am completely here this morning. I'm not falling asleep. But although I'm 100% here, okay, there's none of me that's not here. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Okay, 100%. In the same way, Jesus is right here with us right now, 100%. Okay, we don't have to share Him. Isn't that amazing? The presence of the Holy Spirit is with us right now. And His promise towards you and I is that I am with you. And that, I would say, is the first step in terms of dealing with the lies. To say, you know what? This is nonsense, and God is with me. I can face whatever comes because He's with me right now. He will never change His mind about that. God, guys, a lot of things may change. A lot of things may change in your situation, but the reality is, and the fact is, that He is with you right now. He's with us. But we don't live like that. But He is with us. Amen. Let's quickly go to 2 Corinthians 12. I need to start finishing. And He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul gets something here. He realizes this stuff that he's wrestling with, there's weaknesses in his life. But he recognizes that when he boasts in them, when he's real with God about these things, the power of Christ is made perfect in him. And that's when he can say, as a weak person, he can say, "I'm strong." Are you with me? So it's not saying, it's not being completely, completely ignorant of the truth. It's literally saying, you know what, this is who I am, but this is who Christ is in me. He's in Christ in us is the hope of glory. And when I'm in that situation, I recognize, Lord, this is who I am, but this is who you are. And that's more important. Amen. Yes, I know, with me, if it's just me, it's sad and it's not good. But Christ in me is the hope of glory. And the fact that He is with us and He remains with us until the end of the age, that is what should get us excited. Amen. Doesn't matter what we face. Doesn't matter what the challenge is. He's with us. And He's not changed His mind about that. Okay, now I want to take us back to the key that happened between verse 14 and verse 20. The guys did not believe. Okay. The guys were not in a good space. They thought Jesus was going to deliver them from the Romans, and they were like, "Woo! It's going to be fire and brimstone. He's going to judge these guys, and yeah, here we go. I'm going to sit on his left, and the other guy, we're fighting about where they're going to sit." Okay, now Jesus is dead, and now they get reports of his risen, and they don't believe. These guys are not in a good space. Okay, but between verse 14 and verse 20, something very key happened. Jesus rose from the dead, and He ascended into heaven. And He said to them, "Go to Jerusalem and wait there." So 120 guys ended up in the upper room waiting. And then we take it from Acts 2 verse 1 here. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Guys, There were as many people as there was there. There was one tongue of fire for each of them. That says something. Okay. The Holy Spirit is poured out once and for all. And as believers, we have access to the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives as much as we give Him access. Amen. He's not holding back. There was one tongue for each one. There was enough for everyone. So as much as you and I allow Holy Spirit to take over our lives, He will. And that is the power that we need to go from unbelief to preaching the gospel and seeing signs and wonders and seeing the Lord perform the word and seeing accompanying signs every day. That's what we do. We need to move from, I don't know about this, this looks dodgy, I'm not sure if this is going to work, to preaching the gospel to every creature, seeing the power of God manifest and seeing acts happening in your life day by day. That is the change. That is the difference. That's why Jesus wasn't tense or worried when he said, "Oh my goodness, these guys are clueless," because he knew that the Holy Spirit was about to come. The power of God was about to fall upon these guys, and he knew they will never be the same. Guys, I used to be such a shy guy. I used to hide when people came to visit the house when I was a boy. Literally, hide behind the couch. You know, but when the Holy Spirit came upon me, I was never the same. I've never been the same. And I will say to you, the more you and I ask Holy Spirit to fill our lives, I tell you what, you will never be the same. The power of God is with us right now. His fullness is with us right now. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness, He's given us. He's not holding back. I have a suspicion we're not taking. I have a suspicion we're disagreeing with it. We're saying, now maybe the glass is only half full after all, or half empty, or whatever. I just want to end with this in Matthew 4. Jesus calling the disciples. It was 19. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And this morning, I don't want to say go and strive and work harder and pray more. Jesus is faithful to make us. But you need to say, yes, God, here I am. I want you to make me. I want you to change me. I need you to transform me. I need you to come. I need you to fill me with your Spirit, because without you, I'm zero. I'm without you, I'm useless. I need you every day. I need Christ, the Holy Spirit, fill me. And I want you to transform, make me. But that's a step I must take, because He's not going to force Himself upon us. Amen. But He will make you. He will transform you. No university is going to qualify you for the call of God. No college, no education is going to qualify you for being, everything God has called you to be. But Christ makes us, and the power of God in and through us is what changes us from doubtful, don't know if we're going to make it, to the power of God at work in and through our lives on a daily basis. Stand with me this morning. I'm going to pray. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And guys, the more we fill ourselves with the truth of Scripture, the more we fill ourselves with the promise of God, the more we are equipped to oppose the lies of the devil, and the more we are able to say to our situation, this, I recognize the facts, but this is the truth. I realize that there are many challenges, but this is who God is in my situation. He is the author of salvation. Yes, there are many challenges in our nation. There are many challenges for the gospel. There are many challenges. There are many things opposing the gospel. There are many things opposing the power of God in your life. Guys, Scripture says today is the day of salvation. There's no better day than today. And there's no better time than right now. And I want to say to you, if you haven't got a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and if there's a place where you know you haven't experienced or received the power of the Holy Spirit, then I'd love to pray with you this morning. That is where I came from, somebody that was sort of trying to follow God, up the one day, down the next, you know, just kind of making it, trying to be a Christian, working as hard as I could. My life was never the same after the Holy Spirit has filled me. And I pray for it regularly. If Holy Spirit fill me afresh. Without the power of God, without the Holy Spirit, there's nothing much else there. Amen. Are all this morning, or this afternoon? Guys, let's just close our eyes for a moment. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, God, that as we sit here, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you convict us of the truth. And we thank you, God, right now, Lord, that you convict us of lies that we entertain, of death that we speak, of deceptions that we allow in our hearts and in our minds. And we do it to such an extent that it becomes a reality to us, Father. We allow it to a place where it becomes the reality for us and the truth for us. And we just say, no, you know what, that's never going to happen for me. I can't see it. We repent of that now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Repent of allowing and believing the lies. We repent of disagreeing with your word and disagreeing with your scripture and disagreeing with your promises, God. We repent, God, in the name of Jesus. If that's you this morning, just where you're standing, if there's something, if you've found yourself being the glass half empty kind of thing and just being very negative about stuff and struggling to see, to speak life into situation and finding yourself being negative about stuff and questioning God and doubting things and questioning whether he's really with us or whether he's really, you know, true to his word. If there are things that have been questions in your heart, then just bring them right now before God and say, Lord, I choose today to believe the word. I choose to appropriate the truth to my life by faith. I can't see it now. And maybe I'm doubting, but Lord, I choose by faith to say, Lord, I choose to appropriate your promises to my life, your presence. I can't feel it maybe always, but I know you are with me. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, you know, you hear every heart, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, instead of doubts, Lord, instead of fears, instead of anxieties that we allow, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you have given us a measure of faith. A measure of faith that has us step out into what we do not know and what we do not understand and say, I choose to believe the God that speaks, that calls the light out of darkness, that creates something out of nothing, that speaks, that spoke the whole of creation into being. I choose to believe that God. I choose to believe his promise, and I choose to appropriate his presence in my life right now, even when I don't feel it. You know, when I don't feel the presence of God, my feelings are lying, because God is with me. Lord, thank you for a discernment of recognizing when our feelings are lying, when circumstances are lying in us, when the devil is throwing everything at us to make us discouraged, make us heavy, make us fearful and anxious, God. Thank you for a discernment. Thank you for a sharpness in the Spirit to recognize, Lord, and to not settle for it any longer, God, in the name of Jesus. As every eye is closed here this morning, if you're standing here and you have not chosen to take the first step of stepping into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing. That is the first step. A place where you surrender your life to Christ and say, Lord, I need you to be my Savior. I cannot save myself. If that's you this morning, I've got good news for you, because Jesus paid the highest price that you can have life. He's gone all the way. He's done everything that was required. He's taken all your sin, all your pain, and he's taken it upon himself. And he said, I will pay this in your place. But it's for you to receive the gift of salvation. It's for you to bow the knee before him as Lord and Savior. And you to walk away from your old way, to say, I choose to follow God. I choose to follow him as Lord and as Savior. And I choose to believe in my heart and to confess with my mouth that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. If that's you this morning and you want to make that shift this morning and you want to bow before him as King, then I want to pray with you. If there's anybody like that this morning, if you could just raise your hand with every eyes closed. And secondly, if you're here this morning and you've heard about this thing about the Holy Spirit, but you don't really know what it's about, or you have a desire to be filled with the power of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be changed forever, to know what it means to be full to overflowing with the presence and the power of God. If that's your desire this morning and you want to be filled with the Spirit, then we would like to pray with you after. Amen. I'm just going to pray for one or two groups of people, and then we're going to have some time for ministry. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And right now, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you fill us again with your power, Lord. You fill us afresh with your Spirit. God, the difference between us just making it and surviving and just having some kind of existence as Christians and being everything that you've created us to be is the power of your Spirit in and through us every day. And right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we say, God, fill us afresh with your Spirit, Lord. We cannot go without your presence, Lord. We cannot go without the fullness of Holy Spirit in and through us every moment of every day. Lord, we're desperate for you to fill us again. Lord, we thank you that you have sent enough for everyone. One tongue, a tongue of fire on every head, God. I thank you right now this morning, this afternoon, that we can appropriate that same thing for us, Lord. The fact that you have poured out your Spirit on all flesh, God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, right now that you change around, Lord, doubts into faith, Lord. You change fear into faith, Lord. You change around anxiousness and fearfulness into that you fill us with a fresh anointing, Lord, that dispels all fear, God, in Jesus' name, that we can walk in the faith and we walk in the promise of God for us, the promise that you have for this city and for this nation, Lord, to a place where we will recognize the word of God for our city and we recognize the word of God for our nation and we stand on daily, we can declare that United Kingdom will be saved. And this city will be transformed. And this city will be changed by the power of God. Not because I say so. Because by the power of God in and through his people right now in this place. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're not confused about the redemptive purpose of our city and our nation, God. We thank you, Father, that you have sent people from this place all across the world. And I thank you, Jesus, that redemptive purpose remains. Thank you, Jesus, that I pray, Holy Spirit, even this week, that you reconnect us, God, with the purpose that you have and the plan that you have for us as a nation and for this city, God, and for us as a body in this place, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to give an opportunity. If you want to be filled again with the Holy Spirit, if you want to just be filled afresh, please come to the front. And if you found yourself struggling with lots of lies and struggling with that thing of the reality, the facts, the circumstance that just want to overwhelm you, then we'd love to pray with you, just agree with you to be able to see the provision of God, to see the word of God for your situation. Amen. And if you find yourself being discouraged and being hopeless about certain things, I'd really trust that there's a measure of grace for us this morning, people. To receive hope again, to receive life, to receive the Holy Spirit, and to receive the power of God. Amen? For that situation. So please join us in the front. We'd love to pray with you.
Sometimes we need to hear something two or three times. Yaki mentioned it in the sermon and in the prayer. But when Holy Spirit came, it filled the whole room, and there was enough for each person. I still think there might be some of us here who think, although I'm in the room, it's not for me. Although I'm here, there's not a tongue for me, a tongue of fire. There's not an anointing of Holy Spirit. And just, I want to say it a third time. If you think it's not for you, the fact that you're here this morning means it is. So don't leave this room. Don't go through that door before you've been forward, just to reemphasize what's already been said.
Amen. Amen. And if you have any other prayer need, we're going to be in the front here. We'd love to pray with you. So please join us in the front. Amen. We're going to have some refreshments next door. Please join us there. I'm going to just bring a prayer, a last thing. Father, I thank you, Lord, right now that you shift something in our hearts and you shift something in our minds, God, in Jesus' name. And I pray, I thank you for an impartation, Lord, of hope for every heart. I thank you for an impartation, Lord, of life, God. I thank you for an impartation of faith, God, to a place that we can expect you to do the ridiculous things this week, Father. We can expect the impossible to become possible with you, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you even this week, as we look at the reality around us, as we look at the circumstance, thank you that you empower us to speak life, God, to prophesy to the dead bones, to speak, to declare your life and your purpose and your plan into every circumstance we face, into every situation, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you empower us by your Spirit, Lord, to decree your word and to decree your plan in every situation we face, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for an urgency in our hearts, God. I thank you, God, for a place we will no longer settle for anything less than the fullness of God in every situation, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you that you make us almost discontent to a place where we are desperate to see your kingdom come in every situation, Father. We will not settle for anything less, Lord. In Jesus' name, let your kingdom come. Let your glory manifest, Lord, in and through us this week, Lord. For your glory's sake, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks very much for joining us, guys. Please, if you want to pray with us, join us in the front. We want to just agree with you. And if there's heaviness on you still, if there's any heaviness or anything that you feel is binding you to negativity, then please join us. We'd love to pray with you. And whatever other prayer need you may have, join us. We'd love to pray. Amen. God bless you. Join us for some refreshments and have a good week. Amen.